to God. Well, we will be turning this over to Shirley momentarily, but before we do that, we do have some prayer needs that we need to take care of. I did receive word today from Brian that Vicky's sister is in hospice. Her name is Tina. So we're going to pray for Tina and ask that the Lord would be with her and that his perfect will would be accomplished. Of course, we're going to pray for Vicky and for Maya and for Abby and Lily. And as they're traveling, I know they had to go to Oklahoma today, and I'm sure there'll be more traveling to follow. So we're going to ask that the Lord would be with them and protect them and comfort them and watch over them, of course. And we're also going to pray for Mackenzie and Penny and that entire family. I noticed that Penny posted on WhatsApp today that Mackenzie had to put her dog Maggie down today. And that especially hits home for me. I know how devastating it can feel to lose a pet. That's something we had to do just a couple of weeks ago, so I definitely understand the grieving and the pain that follows. And you really do miss a pet when they're gone. It just seems so strange to not have them anymore. So we're going to pray for God that God would comfort this family and be with them. And we're going to pray for Tim as well as he continues to recover in rehab. And we're going to pray that all goes smoothly and that he will be released soon and make a full recovery. Let's bring these petitions before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night on behalf of Tina, praying, Lord, that thou would be with her as she's there in hospice. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be with her. We pray that thou would comfort her in this time, this difficult time. We pray, Lord, that thou would be there, that thou would speak to her. We pray that she would feel thy presence and feel thy touch. We ask, Lord, that if it be her time to go, that thou would make her ready to see thee face to face. But if it be thy will, we ask, Lord, that thy perfect will would be accomplished and that thou would heal her even in this very last hour. For we know that nothing is too hard for thee, and thou art able to do all things. So we know, Lord, that this is ultimately thy will. We pray that thy will would be accomplished. But in either case, we pray, Lord, that thou would be with Tina, that thou would comfort her, and that we pray, Lord, that she would be ready to see thee. We ask, Lord, that thy hand would be upon her, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Vicky and Abby and Maya and Lily. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with them as they're in Oklahoma, as they travel. We pray that thou would watch over them, that thy angels would be around about them, that thou would give them a hedge of protection. And we pray, Lord, that thou would comfort them during this difficult time. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with them and help them and encourage them. We pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Father in heaven, we also bring Brian before thee and the entire family, praying, Lord, that thou would be with each and every one of them and comfort them during this difficult time. We pray that thy spirit would be upon them, and we ask, Lord, that thou would be with them, and we pray that they would feel thy love and feel thy touch. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Father in heaven, we also pray for Mackenzie and her entire family, Penny, and everyone else who knew this dog, Maggie. We pray that thou would be with them, that thy spirit of comfort would come upon them. We know that this can be such a loss to lose a pet, and we pray, Lord, that thou would be with them and let them feel thy presence. We ask, Lord, that thou would be with them in their distress and in their mourning and in their sorrow. We ask, Lord, that thy hand would be upon them. We pray, O God, that thou would give them the comfort that they so desperately need in these difficult moments. For we know, O God, that thy spirit is the comforter. We pray that thou would be with them, lift them up, and uphold them with thy right hand and strengthen them, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Tim once again. Thank thee, Lord, for the amazing progress that he has made already. We thank thee, Lord, that thou has kept and sustained him, and we pray that thou would be with him there in rehab. We pray that all would go well and that he would be able to leave soon. We ask that he would make a full and complete recovery. We pray that thou would restore him to full form and function. We ask that thy hand would be upon him and thy strengthening power. We pray that thou would work in him mightily. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to have Shirley come up and she's going to lead a Bible study tonight.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, so thankful for the Lord who has been with us. The Lord that we call upon continuously, and oh, he has been gracious to us and so kind. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm glad to be here tonight and glad for every one of you that have joined us online. And those of you who will listen to this later, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, praise God. I do want to mention that yesterday seemed kind of hard over there where Tim is. But, you know, it's kind of amazing. I guess sometimes when you're, it just seems really hard, you pray all the harder. And, oh my, then things begin to change. And it was pretty neat today. He felt really encouraged. He felt like the Lord had talked to him and encouraged his heart. And one of the administrators came in and they wanted to have a plan, and Lord willing, the plan is that he would only have to stay until the middle of this month. I think it was the 18th or so when they felt like, you know, like things would be complete and he could go back home. So anyway, I trust that the Lord will help him. I know hopefully, tomorrow will go well. We're going to be working with him as far as mobility and all. And I hope it will be a good day. So far, they hadn't really done any therapy. But anyway, thank God for what he's done and that we can trust our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here. And a couple other prayer requests I want to mention, too. I know Pam's dad, Leroy Jackson, is not doing well. I know he had a big stroke, and I didn't hear an update today, so I may be off a little bit, because every day can make a big difference. But I know he needs prayer, and they had him heavily sedated and so on. I know, I think that was yesterday when I heard from Pam. Oh, yes. And then there's another dear lady who's been a friend of this ministry for years. I think we hear from her, oh my, 2-3 times every month. Every time she, you know, has a check, she sends in her tithe. And she's been a very faithful woman. She came here years ago to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And right now her husband, Harry, is in hospice too. And I remember Harry, too, because he was gracious enough to bring her here when she was baptized. And he didn't feel his need at that point. And I don't know what all has followed, but I'm going to pray that the Lord would be close to him and that, oh, yes, he would be right with the Lord if he's going to leave this world. I pray that his heart would be made right. The Lord will have his way in that matter too. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to God in prayer again here. Thank you, Jesus. So praise you, Jesus. So thank you, God. Thank you that we can come to you, Lord. Oh God, thank you that your eyes are on the sparrows, and oh God, so much more your people. And I pray, oh Lord, that, oh God, you would touch these others, Lord, that were mentioned now, Lord. I pray that you would help Pam's dad, Lord. Oh God, let your will be done there. And I pray that you would talk to his heart too, Lord. And I pray that there would be nothing between him and you, Lord. And oh God, that his heart would be right. And oh God, that you would stir his heart even, oh God, in whatever state he is in at this moment. I pray that you'd help him, that you'd help Pam too, Lord, because I believe she was down there with him. And oh God, help all the other family members too, Lord. Jesus, you know this need, Lord. And God, I just also pray for Harry also, Harry Cantner, Lord, that you would help this man, that you'd also help Nina, Lord. And oh God, that your will would be done in this matter too, Lord, that you would touch this man, that you'd speak to him. Oh God, that he'd hear your voice, Lord. And oh God, that he would listen and give heed. And oh Lord, that his heart would be made right. Oh God, that you'd do a work that only you can do. And Oh, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We do praise you, Lord. God, I also feel like I want to mention the man who's also in the same room that Tim is in. Oh, Lord, I know he doesn't know you, and I've said little things, and I told him we'd be praying, and I pray that you'd help him, Lord. I know he's got a sore that is not healing fast. Oh, God, I know he's been flat on his back for a month at least, Lord, and I pray for this man. I pray, oh, God, that you'd open his heart up. I pray that you talk to him too, Lord. Oh, God, that your will would be done also in his life. And, oh, Lord, that you give us words. Oh, God, oh, Lord, you know, oh, God, the meaning of all of this. And, oh, Lord, oh, God, we know truly we could do nothing without you, Lord. But I pray that you'd work. I pray that you'd work in our loved ones. I pray, oh, God, that you'd hear our needs. I pray, oh, God, that your peace that passes all understanding would be in our hearts. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, that you'd work in us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd use us, Lord Jesus. And oh, God, that you'd be here tonight, Lord. Use this message. Use your scripture, Lord. Oh, God, put it deep within us, God. We could do nothing without you, Lord. And I bring these needs before thee. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Give me the words to say. And oh, Lord, give us the ears to hear. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we've been in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, and we've been talking about this group of people. They're the Thessalonians, and there, you know, we know that it didn't take long after they came to the Lord that great trouble broke out and they were persecuted. They were persecuted very early as newborn Christians even. It came upon them. But praise the Lord, it seems that the Lord kept them and they were instrumental. In fact, you know, one of the accusations that was put upon them is really quite a compliment. Yes, those that opposed them, those that persecuted them, they accused them of turning the world upside down. Oh my, they had made an impact despite being quite new in the Lord. Oh my, you know, the world had noticed, the outsiders had noticed that there was something different. And oh yes, it stirred up trouble. But praise the Lord, oh, the Lord knows how to use that trouble and oh, how to help us and how to keep us, how to make us stronger. And you know, I sense that Paul's great desire for these people, this church at Thessalonica, was that they would grow in the Lord, that they would be strengthened, and oh yes, that their faith would grow, and yes, that, oh my, that they would continue to work for God and oh yes, be instrumental in the lives of so many others. And praise the Lord, I believe they were. Praise the Lord, yes, and God knows how to perform it. Our God is faithful. He is the one that called us unto salvation. And praise the Lord, oh, we can turn to him. We can know that he is the solid rock. And those words of life that come from his word, they are true. They are faithful. Oh my, we can stand on them. And oh yes, Lord, give us that faith that oh yeah, we could grasp what it means to be a Christian, to walk with the Lord. And that kind of walk with the Lord that the world can see Jesus in us. Amen, that we can do this work that he has called us to do. Yes, even to turn the world upside down. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know Sister Sharon wrote that in an email to me. I think that was last Wednesday. And yeah, praise the Lord. Let's do our part. Let's turn the world upside down. It needs Jesus. It's in terrible trouble. Things are going crazy. But oh my, there's nothing too hard for our God. And oh, yes, I pray that he would use us. even in these last days, when hearts seem cold and, oh yes, so far away from God. But sometimes that's when people realize the most how desperately they need him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's go again to 2 Thessalonians. And we just have a short chapter here tonight, but let's just see how the Lord will use it for his name's sake and for his glory. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that Paul wrote these epistles. And oh yes, they give us insight. Through those early churches, we get a glimpse of some of their struggles and what they went through. And yes, oh yes, his words of encouragement also go forth to help us here today. Oh yes, even this very night, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's read, let's study here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, praise God. Praise the Lord. So verse 1, Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, those prayers, those precious prayers that come out, you know. It's so wonderful. I know those prayers, even those that have been on my behalf, what a work they have done, you know, how the Lord has heard, how he has intervened. And you know, sometimes we don't even know what to pray, but oh, by the Spirit of the Lord, we can make intercession. You know, I know there's those moments when somebody maybe we haven't thought about for months, maybe years, comes to mind, and you know, that's the Lord putting them on our hearts so that we can intercede, you know, for that which we don't know. But praise the Lord, God knows. And the beautiful thing is he uses those prayers. It's just such a privilege that we can come before his throne knowing that he's there. Oh yes, to hear our prayers and to make intercession for us, and oh, using those prayers. In fact, you know, we're told in Hebrews 4:16 that we can come boldly unto that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's a beautiful thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't have to be backward. We don't have to be hesitant. Praise the Lord, we're invited, oh yes, to come boldly to that throne of grace. So here it is, as Paul is kind of winding up his letter to this church. "Finally, brethren, pray for us," yes, "that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." And praise the Lord, I believe he's saying that, oh yes, the word of the Lord would go forth and not be restrained, or it would not be hindered, that it would go forth and the Lord would use it, and oh yes, it would bring forth the salvation of souls, and yes, be glorified, even as the word of God had ministered to this church at Thessalonica and brought them to the salvation of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so then he takes it a step further in verse 2. He says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." And oh yes, there's a true statement too, yes. You know, it's pretty amazing sometimes. You might say the least little thing, so it seems, and his somebody's anger will rise up. I mean, I've experienced that a few times. Two times that I remember for sure, and yeah, I'm sure a few other times people weren't too pleased, but last time there at the co-op, when that man was so offended with me, oh, I could feel such an anger, you know, I could feel like, you know, he ordered me to get out and all that kind of thing. And he was very upset, even though I had said very little, and just, you know, offered him a track if he would like it. Oh my. But you see, yes, it's what's in their hearts. And sometimes the reaction may be just, you know, beyond what we could even describe. Because yes, they are enemies of the Lord. Their hearts are far from God, and they hate the gospel, obviously, or so they think they do. Oh my, but oh my, it's such a glorious gospel, and we're so privileged to be able to share it. Amen. But yes, Paul was requesting that, yes, we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And yes, we find out after a while, you know, when somebody, you know, feels like, oh my, you know, they, what we've said is extremely offensive. And yeah, they just as soon off with our neck, off with our head, you know, you can feel that at times. I'm sure Paul knew that very well. But oh yes, despite wicked and unreasonable men, Paul says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. And thank God he goes with us. He stands with us. Oh my, he's there to meet every need. And oh, he hears our cries. He knows our predicaments. And he intervenes. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. And that's such a beautiful encouragement. Amen. Oh, there is none that we could compare to the Lord. His faithfulness. Oh, yes, to his children. Oh, praise God. And so, yes, you know, it tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, as it's relating, oh, some of the experience that the people under the first covenant went through. And it tells us here, as we just read this portion here, 1 Corinthians 10, it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Oh yes, they were brought out of Egypt, every single one of them. Amen. And they all had the same experience and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amazing. Amen. They all had an experience of the faithfulness of the Lord, of his goodness, of his mercies. Oh yes, they were partakers of the Lord's goodness and mercy. Amen. But it goes on, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And see, I'm so glad that these things are recorded. Oh yes, because it's going to teach us, it's going to help us to know how we must not conduct ourselves. We certainly do not want to lust after evil things as they also lusted. Oh yes, we know they went out of Egypt, but it seems that old Egypt was still in their hearts. It didn't take them too long. They were making a golden calf, like unto the calves of Egypt, and oh, worshiping it. Yeah, it was still in their hearts, obviously. And it says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And yes, they not only came up with that golden calf, but they bowed down to it. They rose up to play. Yes, and oh my, all kinds of evil works were conducted under that influence. Yes, and it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Oh, all these things for our examples, for our admonition. Amen. Oh, yes, they would get to murmuring and complaining, and oh, yes, you know, they let the heathen women come in and tempt them and seduce them, and oh, my, if it wouldn't have been stopped by a God-fearing individual, oh, my, they all would have been destroyed. And then it says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Oh, yes, these things happened. And yes, if God wouldn't have told Moses how to bring forth that serpent that he put up there in the wilderness there, that they must look on in order to be spared, you know, I believe the destruction would have went on and on. And then it goes on to say, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Oh, yes, God does not like complaining. Oh, he has blessed us so greatly. And likewise, those children of Israel had been so greatly blessed of the Lord. They had been brought forth out of Egypt, and it was a marvel. It was a miracle. The Lord had done so many works. But, oh, my, how wrong it was when they began to murmur and complain and even talk about going back to Egypt. Oh, God was so displeased with their conduct. Oh, my, very unhappy with that. But it goes on to tell us here in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And yes, and thank God we can look back at these examples, or ensamples as the word is here in 1 Corinthians, and you know, take heed and realize, wow, if God was sorely displeased with them after he had delivered them out of Egypt, I think we better listen. Oh, we better give heed to the things that are written now for our admonition, for our warning, for the reproof that we need, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then he writes, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And boy, these are words that we need to listen to. You know, we can't get so big in our head that we think we've got it made, and all that we would never fall. I mean, wow, we better give every day to the Lord. We better turn everything over to the Lord Jesus. Amen. We must realize that without him, we could do nothing. Oh, yes, we sorely, desperately need the Lord Jesus. And oh, we better not think that, you know, we have strength in ourselves. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I believe he takes us through many things to help us to realize how desperately we need him and how dependent we are upon him. And like you said, you know, he's the vine and we're the branches. And without me, you can do nothing. I mean, yes, that's a reality. We need him for every aspect in our lives. And oh, yes, we want to take heed, lest something grow in our hearts, some unbelief, some spirit, oh my, some delusion, something, oh yes, that would present itself before us and take us as a snare. Oh my, so wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And then verse 13, which is so beautiful. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, praise the Lord, what beautiful words these are. Yes, our God is faithful, and he knows how to deliver us from the temptations, the trials, the hard things of this world. He knows how to get us through this world. And oh, yes, he knows how much we can bear as individuals. And he's promised here, but will, with the temptation or the trial, the need, the test, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, praise the Lord, that ye can go through it. Oh, yes, and have victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Amen. Thank God for these words of life. Praise the Lord. So, yes, it tells us our God is faithful. And, you know, that's such a beautiful word right there. You know, as I was reading that, perhaps that was even yesterday, you know, I couldn't help but think of the man called Lot. Oh, yes, and, you know, we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and yeah, we know how, you know, he edged toward those cities and then eventually got involved right smack in the middle of it. But oh, praise the Lord, we also know from 2 Peter, the second chapter, that his soul was vexed day after day with the goings on in those wicked, wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, let's just read that here in 2 Peter, the second chapter, starting with verse 4. It reads, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." See, we've got all these examples in God's word. I'm glad, you know, we've got some of these stories, oh, to show us how God feels, how he judges, oh, yes, his characteristics, all of that which we desperately need to know. Amen. Yes, we need to know it. Yes, so making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And oh yes, there's a very consoling verse that follows. Verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, the Lord knows our needs, and oh, he knows how to deliver us. And praise the Lord, there was Lot. He was caught in the middle of it. No, oh my, you know, I don't know. He most likely, you know, time after time, you know, wished that he had never came to those cities. Saw the impact it was making on his own family. And all the husbands that some of the daughters married and such, you know, the influence that comes from all that wickedness. Oh, he was vexed. Day after their filthy, filthy homosexual lifestyle, filthy pigs that they were. Oh, yes. And here it is today. It's not getting prettier. Oh, yes, it seems that, oh, yes, it's moving on with more and more ungodliness and more wickedness and more of the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those spirits, oh yes, that are alive in these wicked places. But praise the Lord, we have these examples or ensamples in God's word to look to give heed to. Oh, praise the Lord, to be strengthened by. Oh, yes. Oh, and thank God that, you know, it's in our heart to give heed, to listen, you know, to make right our hearts before it's too late. Praise the Lord. So we serve a very faithful God. And as it tells us here again in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. And it tells us, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Oh, those are encouraging words too. Praise the Lord. You know, when we were studying in 1 Thessalonians, you know, we read somewhat of this also here. 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, going to read verses 11, 12, and 13. Praise the Lord, as Paul was writing. And, you know, I could just feel the intensity in his heart because, yes, these people had turned from their idols to serve the living God. And, oh, yes, oh, they had that knowledge. And it had been such a beautiful thing to see them converted, coming to the Lord, all repenting of their sins, being baptized in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that was beautiful. But, you know, Paul yearned. Oh, he couldn't stay there too long. Oh, he had to send Brother Timothy in to, you know, just to see how they were doing, you know, with great hopes that all was well. And thank God it was. But, oh, his heart was, oh, that they would be established in the truth of God's word. Here it's expressed, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Oh, that love that grows in our hearts as we surrender our lives to the Lord. Oh, yes. And, you know, Jesus said, by the love one towards another, that agape charity love, that men would know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But, yes, oh, and the Lord make you to increase, oh, to grow spiritually and abound, oh, to be very fruitful. Praise the Lord, to overflow even abundantly in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a sign. You know, the world talks about love. Oh, my. But, you know, I don't think you could really know the real love of Jesus Christ until you have come to him and surrendered your life, your heart, your soul to him. Oh, yes, that's what teaches us what love is really all about. Charity, that agape love that gives without any expectation of anything in return. And then Paul wrote in verse 13, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Oh, praise the Lord, this is what it's all about. Our short little lifespan is getting ready to meet the Lord when he comes again. And oh, yes, Paul's cry. Oh, yes, that these dear people would be established in such a way in the truth, in godliness, in holiness. Oh, so that their hearts would be unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints on that great day, that day of judgment. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Paul's cry for these people. And yes, I pray that all you that are a part of this ministry would also all be established and blameless when you stand before that throne of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, yes, and then he says, and keep you from evil. And that's pretty neat, too, you know, because we're surrounded by evil. In fact, you know, we know that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, as Paul also wrote. And so, yes, you know, it's something that, you know, you can't really get away from. oh, this is an evil, evil world. But how did Jesus bring it forth when his disciples asked him that he would teach them to pray, how to pray? Matthew chapter 6. Oh, yes, he said, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Praise the Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the authority, the power, the glory that belongs to our God. And we are so blessed to be his servants, to serve him. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, that was part of the prayer that Jesus Christ instituted. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praying for his kingdom to come. Oh, his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven, that he would provide us with our daily bread, our needs, and that he would forgive us, oh, yes, our sins, our debts, as we, on the other hand, forgive those that have, you know, sinned against us. And then, yes, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Praise the Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so God's will that, yes, we would be delivered from evil. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the Lord. You know, I loved Paul's testimony there in 2 Timothy, that third chapter, when he talked about his persecutions and afflictions which came to him at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and he said, what persecutions I endured. But then he said, but out of them all, every single one, the Lord delivered me. Praise the Lord. What a testimony. How beautiful. And that's our God. And oh, yes, Paul had gone through a handful. Oh, he'd gone through so many. Oh, that, you know, you could hardly imagine it. You know, he kind of posts some of them here in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Here he says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool or as foolish. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Oh, praise the Lord, what a story that man had to tell. Amen. But here, yes, back here in 2 Thessalonians, that third verse in this third chapter, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Praise the Lord. And he says in verse 4, And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And so he had great expectations that these people, these dear followers of Jesus Christ in Thessalonica, oh yes, would give heed to the things that he had written, to the instructions that he had given them. And he was, you know, confident in the Lord in that matter, touching concerning those details, that they would do and will do the things that they had been commanded. And that's a beautiful thing, you know. In ministering, you know, you come across all kinds of people. And sometimes, you know, you get excited. You know, it's the people, you feel some, you know, love for the Lord there. You feel desire. But, you know, when you get deeper into the Word of God, the brakes go on. And all at once, oh my, you know, they don't want to go forth with those details, you know. Oh yeah, they're happy to do what, you know, they want to do. But oh, to go the full way, to really give heed, to really be discipled, to really live for the Lord, to really be willing to be instructed. And sometimes, come on, it's not too easy, you know. Sometimes, you know, we need a little help, you know. We get a little off track. And we need somebody maybe to take us by the collar and kind of steer us right, you know. Because, oh, thank God when there's godly counsel. And, you know, somebody can realize that, you know, you're kind of going the wrong way. Maybe not just kind of, you know, you really are. And, you know, thank God if there's somebody that is loving us enough to want to redirect us. Praise the Lord. So he goes on to tell us in verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Oh, praise the Lord. And that's a thing that grows within us. You know, I realized when I gave my life to the Lord, there was, you know, I was a fear of his judgment. And, you know, I realized, oh, my, I don't want to go to the lake of fire. You know, I just want to be right with God and thank the Lord that he stirred my heart in such a way. But you know what? Love has grown in my heart, praise the Lord. Because I realize how wonderful it is to serve him, how faithful our God is, oh, how he stands by us, how he helps us, how he encourages us, and oh, how his word, you know, talks to our hearts, and oh, we see the goodness of the Lord, and we realize what a wonderful blessing, oh, we have to serve him. To be called out of this world into his glorious kingdom, to have a hope in our heart, a deep hope of everlasting life. Oh, yes, in the kingdom of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, that glorious kingdom. Oh, yes, oh, where oh, there's not going to be any trials or any temptation. Oh yes, there will be nobody there to stir up a hornet's nest, oh my, in that world, that new heavens and that new earth, which comes down from God out of heaven. Praise the Lord, prepared for his people. Praise the Lord, prepared for you and I. Praise the Lord, amen. So the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and to the patient waiting for Christ. Oh my, you know, that's been something that we've been waiting for, that the early church has been waiting for quite a while. Oh yes, by this point, you know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, we go to Acts, the first chapter, for a moment, and you know, that very moment, you know, as he was leaving, as his ministry had been completed. And here we go in the first chapter of Acts, after he told them in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 9 here, Acts the first chapter, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know, Brother Brian, if, you know, the people who had come forth from the dead also ascended with him, if they're part of that cloud. I know Brother Brian brought that to my attention a couple years ago or so, and interesting thought. Anyway, but, you know, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And it tells us in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, that was one of the very first points that, was made here, that he's coming back again. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the hope of the church. Oh, yes, that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, just as they watched him go into heaven. And yes, you know, I know Brother Samuel goes to John 14 often, and we love that portion. But you know, Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, praise the Lord. Whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes. This is going to be our reality. Oh, yes. Oh, one of these days when that great trump sounds. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. That shout from heaven. Oh, yes. The voice of the archangel. Oh, as all, you know, these things that we've long talked about come to pass. Oh, right in front of us. Oh, yes. How we want to be ready on that great day of the Lord. Oh, yes, we're told, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35. Oh, Paul is writing to that church there, those people, those Hebrew people. Verse 35, chapter 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Praise the Lord, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Amen. That moment, oh yes, it's going to happen, just as, oh, it happened the first time. I don't think too many were waiting for the Messiah when he finally came forth. And how will it be on that great day of the Lord? When he comes forth, oh yes, oh yes, when he comes as a thief in the night, and the heavens pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and all the works that are therein shall be burnt up. How's it going to be? You know, Peter instructed in verse 11 in that third chapter of 2 Peter, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Amen. We know this day will happen. It will come. It's going to come. It shall come, and it is not going to tarry. Amen. And we're told in 2 Peter 3, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But praise the Lord, we have a tremendous, wonderful, precious hope in our hearts. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then Peter admonishes in verse 14 in this chapter, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, let it be, Lord Jesus, that we could be found of him in peace. Oh, yes, those sins, oh, taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, as we repented of our sins and turned them over to him. Oh, praise the Lord, and obey that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, as he filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. There's going to be no regrets that we listened. Yes, because just a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Amen. So Paul is writing to this church at Thessalonica, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Amen. The hope of the church. And then he's going to talk about there obviously was this little struggle in this church. It was alluded to in 1 Thessalonians. But he says in verse 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." So, you know, and there he had, you know, showed his confidence in the prior verse, verse 4, that, you know, they would give heed, that they would do, and you know, would continue to do the things that he had commanded them. So he's telling them in verse 6 that, you know, if someone does not give heed, then withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not in the order that has been established, and not after the tradition which he received of us. And then he goes on to talk a little bit more, give a little more detail. "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you." You know, I think, you know, Paul and whoever was with him on the mission, you know, be it Barnabas, be it Silas, be it Timothy, and even Luke followed him at times. You know, they were striving to be an example of the faith, a godly example that could be followed. And oh my, by the grace of God, that's what we would hope to be here, that we could be an example that could be followed, that would lead people to everlasting life by the grace of God. But you know, it seemed like there was a tendency in this church, and he's bringing it up in verse 8, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." And, you know, if we are to turn to Acts 18 chapter for just a moment here, we realize that Paul, when he was there with these people, there, well, in Thessalonica, but also even in Corinth, we realize that he didn't take money of them or sustenance to any great extent, obviously, from them. And he worked as a tent maker. And that's brought out in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. Actually, I hope I said chapter 18 a minute ago, but that's where the church at Corinth was founded. And then because Aquila and Priscilla also were in that same occupation, they worked together. And obviously the Lord went on to use Aquila and Priscilla in the work of God also. But yes, there they abode together because both parties were tent makers. And Paul did this. He, instead of taking funds, and it is in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, he talks about this to quite an extent, that, you know, he felt like in this case, he could not take funds of them. He was striving to be an example. And I think here with the church at Thessalonica, I think because partly because, you know, there was a tendency of them not to go after honest labor. So he was striving very hard to be that kind of example to them so that they would get the point and realize that, you know, you don't want to take advantage of other people unneedfully. You know, you want to pull your weight and do, you know, what you can do as an individual. And I thank God, you know, in the kingdom of God, he put us all here together, and we all have our little part, our own little role that we can play. And you know, it's important, no matter how it might seem, you know, the whole body has, you know, importance. If you stub your toe, your whole body can feel that poor stubbed toe, and so on. So every member of the body of Christ has a role to play and some importance. And, you know, we all want to pull our weight and do what God has called us as individuals to do. So there, and certainly among Corinth, we have those details in 1 Corinthians 9, but also just that, you know, fact that he was a tent maker there in the 18th chapter of Acts. You know, and here also there, this point he wanted to make very clear here with the church of Thessalonica. So he says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. And again, I believe there was a tendency in those people to, you know, just take advantage of others and not to pull their weight. So Paul felt it very important, obviously, to be that kind of example to these individuals, not, you know, because, you know, he clarifies in 1 Corinthians 9 that those that are part of the ministry of the gospel should live up the gospel that was ordained under the law. But he felt like he couldn't do that specifically because of the particular assignment that he had been given. And, you know, it seems like as you read 1 Corinthians 9 that he didn't want to be chargeable to anybody. He knew the Lord had called him specifically. And of course, you know, he always felt, you know, his great need to compensate, you could say, for the great damage that he felt he had done before he knew the Lord Jesus. And so in his heart, he felt like he could not, you know, take funds to provide for the things that he needed. Specifically, I'm sure there are times, you know, when he was in prison and all, he does make some mentions, say in the book of Philippians, for example, you know, that he was, you know, very appreciative of help that he was given at that time and so on. And I'm sure there were times that, you know, people did nice things for him. But, you know, he felt like he had to be an example. And I would assume that it was the tent making that, you know, he did to show them, you know, the need to do honest labor and to be faithful. You know, so that, you know, you weren't indebting yourself to somebody unneedfully. So he's bringing it out here in this third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Again, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, or, you know, he could have, you know, taken from them because of his labors in the Lord, but he said to make ourselves an ensample or an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So here I feel like, yes, there was a tendency among these people, and so he felt very needfully to, be that kind of example, so that, they would get the message and realize if Paul is, working hard as a tent maker and then ministering besides, I think we better pull our weight too and do what we need to do. Because, he goes on, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And so he says, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Oh, praise the Lord. So yes, he felt like he needed to emphasize that particular point. And he had alluded to it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, when he said, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. So you see, this was something that he emphasized with this congregation, amen, with these people, amen. But then, he says, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And oh, what words those are. Sometimes there's a lot of labors involved in our work for the Lord, and I'm sure Paul understood this and knew how that was, because sometimes you're just putting yourself out, and sometimes maybe there's not even a thank you sometimes. But as we're told, Galatians the 6th chapter, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he says in verse 9 here, Galatians the 6th chapter, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's all going to work out, isn't it? The Lord sees us. He knows our labors. He knows our needs. He knows every detail. Nothing is hidden from him. Praise the Lord. And he says also in Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So yes, here in 2 Thessalonians verse 13 of this third chapter, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, thank God for moments of refreshing, and thank God, it's a beautiful thing. Encouragement can strengthen and can help us sometimes, even just a little bit of encouragement can lift our spirits and help us to, be renewed in that respect. Praise the Lord. But here, yes, admonished, and he's admonishing this church, be not weary in well-doing. Oh, yes, because, one of these days, we're going to reap if we faint not. Oh, the worst terrible thing would be if we would faint in the middle of our sowing, if all at once we would get discouraged and, get weary and get tired and, just plain give up. Oh, how sad that would be. Oh, my, to miss out on the great blessings that the Lord has reserved for his people, the great inheritance, that he has for us, and we could just continue to walk by faith, to not look back, to hold fast to the things that are true and faithful. Praise the Lord. To keep in mind that our Lord is faithful, and he knows how to get us through this world. Amen. And then, a little more admonishment before this letter ends. Verse 14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And then, oh yes, he ends by saying, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord wants us to know his peace, that wonderful peace that passes all understanding. Yes, that is one of his gifts to his children, his peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Oh my, but you know, such as only God can offer to his people, that peace, oh yes, that passes all understanding. So now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And then he says, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. And then, oh yes, he writes the token here. It's kind of his signature, his very special signature, as he ends this letter here to the church of Thessalonica. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how he ended his letters, his epistles to the church. And oh yes, he wrote them. Yes. In his absence, you know, there were things that he couldn't teach otherwise. And it was such a wonderful thing that he could pen it with his pen and have it delivered to that particular church. And oh yeah, all the instructions that he felt in his heart were needful for that body of believers. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm so thankful. And there was this group of people, these people at Thessalonica, who gave heed to the gospel when they heard it, who turned their lives around, and oh yes, turned from their idols to serve the living and true God, as we're told in that very first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Oh, these people that had suffered, you know, persecution right off the bat, but praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. I believe they kept growing. You know, the devil has all these tactics that he thinks that it might, you know, steer people away and cause them to give up. You know, it's an amazing thing. Often it's the persecuted people that have the greatest strength. Oh, yes, you know, that prevail through those hard times. And oh yes, allow the Lord to strengthen them. Oh, praise the Lord. And I believe this was a reality with these dear people at Thessalonica. Praise the Lord, as he's written. Oh, praise the Lord. Here the very first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Oh, praise the Lord. They were accused of turning the world upside down. What a strength, what a testimony, what a word, oh, that was put upon them. Praise the Lord. But yes, Paul writing, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, praise the Lord, the work that he does in our hearts. We were all out there, and oh, we all needed salvation. the matter if we'd heard it little on up, and you know, there still had to be that day where we turned our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter if, you know, it was years before we heard the glorious glad tidings that Jesus saves, oh yes, in the way to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. But thank God, oh, it's such a blessing that he got a hold of our hearts, that he took us out of our past. And praise the Lord, he has put us in to his glorious kingdom. Praise the Lord. So that, oh yes, we, as well as the New Testament church, are waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I find much strength and wisdom in these two epistles that Paul penned to the church at Thessalonica. Praise the Lord. I pray that it would be a blessing to all of you. Praise the Lord, for our God is faithful, and I pray that he would establish you and keep you from the evil. Praise the Lord, as he wrote here in that third chapter, verse 3. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Oh, God, thank you that it talks to our hearts. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to listen. Oh, God, help us to be attentive. Oh, God, help us to continue, Lord. Oh, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, God, help us to give heed to the things that we have heard. Oh, Lord, and to put it deep within us, Lord, deep in our hearts. Oh, Lord, so that that truth is deep within us, Lord, so we're not, oh, God, tricked by the snares of the enemy. Oh, God, keep us that we would never fall away, that we'd never believe a lie, that we'd never fall into that condemnation. I thank you and praise you. Thank you for everyone, oh Lord, that, oh God, has given heed and, oh, loves thy word and loves thy truth. Keep them, Lord, from the evil. Lead them and guide them. Oh God, direct them. Oh God, let them grow in you, Lord, and in your ways, Lord Jesus. Let them be established, oh Lord, for you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, this wonderful group of people that were accused of turning the world upside down. Oh, yes, let's do our part too and see what we can yet do for the kingdom of God. Amen. In this very challenging time. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we're going to turn to number 78 in the chorus book. It's in Keep On Walking by Faith, 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.